Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, normally I tell you to keep your cell phones off and all of that kind of stuff. Well, I got a little timer on mine. And if I've done this right, it's going to go off about a minute before I finish my sermon. Maybe. Let's see how close I come. A man was watching his 80-something-year-old neighbor plant a small peach tree. He asked him, he said, "You don't expect to eat peaches from that tree, do you?" The old man rested on his spade and he said, "No, at my age, I know I probably won't. But all my life, I've enjoyed peaches, though never from a tree that I planted myself. This time, I'm doing this for others. This time. Time for planting peach trees. Time gives us a perspective that we can't get in any other way. And I've discovered, as many of you have, that time teaches us many things. The same is true with the good news of Jesus Christ. We learn that time matters when it comes to what the gospel of Jesus teaches us. In the lesson from Mark today, we're told in the first two verses, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The time has come, Jesus said. Now the right time has come. Now to proclaim the kingdom of God along with repentance and belief in God's good news. Now the time was right. Everything that God needed to do for Jesus to come and to be known and be shown as his only son, and to teach the things he needed to teach through his preaching, was done. Now, Jesus said, now the time has come. Time, as most of us have come to realize, changes us. Time gives us a perspective on things in life that we can get only with the passage of time. That's what Jesus talked about. Time teaches us that when the time is right to do certain things, then we do them. That's what Jesus makes clear in his words today. The time has come. Now, I've come to this profession of preaching later in life, and so I don't have the same amount of time left to me in the pulpit as other preachers have had. But you know what? Like many of you, like all of you, like every one of you, I've been preaching for years. The 20-plus years I spent in the business world, I preached, just like you do, by how I lived. That is through my behavior and through my words. I preached to others what the gospel, how the gospel impacted and changed me. That is what you do. Every one of you. And the time that we all have remaining to us to tell others of the good news of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection to new life again to everyone who will trust in him, the time that we have to tell that to those around us is, as Jesus said, what? Now. It's now. The reason for now being the time for all of us to preach comes from what St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians. The time is short. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. I agree with what an author I read last week said when he wrote, "In the reality of everyday life, we are living in one of the great immoral periods of history, and this world seems to be getting more immoral with every passing day. And human life is an ever cheaper commodity in our day. Even as we continue to struggle with the ongoing tragedy of more than 1 million abortions in our country every year, we also see euthanasia is spreading throughout hospitals and nursing homes. In addition to that, we see an increasing tendency, especially among many young people, to violently take the lives of others and to take their own lives as well. The media, such as it is, tries to frame these things apart from the responsibility we each have to care for one another that was lost in 1973 with the legalization of abortion. Our public media work by a very strange set of rules. They warn us about the effects of nicotine and alcohol on a baby during the 9 months in the womb. However, these same mouthpieces assure us that we have a valid and ethical choice to end that baby's life if we so choose. By the way, if you know someone who has gone through an abortion, be sure they know that God's forgiveness is for them. Be sure they know that God's forgiveness is for them. Never, never let them walk away from you without knowing that. There is an old Jewish tradition, that God sends each person into this world with a special message to deliver, with a special song to sing, and with a special act of love to bestow. No one else can speak your message, sing your song, or bestow your act of love. These have been entrusted only to you, only to you. Now, according to the tradition, the message may be spoken, the song sung, and the act of love delivered only to a few, or to maybe all the folk in a village, or to all the people in a large city, or even to all the people in the world. But all of that depends on God's unique plan for each unique person. There is no one else that has your fingerprints. There never will be, and there never has been. There's no one else with your DNA, with your brain cells, with your mind. There never has been and there never will be. You are unique, every single one of us. Being pro-life means eagerly seeking that message, that song, and that act of love from every human being, each unique one. To take innocent life is to say a violent no to a unique and unrepeatable human. It's to say, I will not hear your message. I will not listen to your song. I do not want your love. These thoughts on this Life Sunday give us a glimpse of what it means when St. Paul says, the time is short, for this world in its present form is passing away. Just as much of the erosion of public morals pass away and never come back, so also the time we have to tell the gospel to this person or to that person, to that unique individual in our lives, that too may slip by, and one day we realize that we've missed out on telling them the good news we know about the love of God being for them. There's a woman who has spent her life working with teachers. She spends her time helping them to be better teachers. And she has said this: good teachers must be in love with the task of sowing the seed, not reaping the harvest. She knows that if there is to be lasting results from the education process, those results may not be evident for years, if ever, to the teacher. Pastors elders, evangelists, and each and every one of us in church, doing the work of sharing the gospel of God's kingdom, must be in love with sowing the seed of God's word, rather than seek an immediate visible result to make us feel good. God works. God works in mysterious ways, and oftentimes the harvest, the real lasting results, occur after a long or lengthy period of time. Though you may not see the results of your sharing the gospel, results do come. The clear gospel message, that is, the power of God's word, is long-lasting and long-lived in people. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes time for it to have its visible effect. What we are called to do is not get results now, but to be faithful now in our telling of the gospel. Charles Colson spent many years in prison for his part in the Nixon Watergate affair way back in the 70s. In prison, he became a Christian. Oh, I was a little off on my timer. Rats. Missed it by that much. No, sorry. Colson became a Christian in prison. And he built the largest Christian prison ministry in our country. His ministry can be credited with preaching salvation to many thousands of prisoners all across the U.S. and around the globe. The rebirth of the Lord in this one man has, over a great deal of time, led to the rebirth of thousands. Again, what we are called to be and to do is to be faithful in our telling the good news. We are in a society that teaches us that unless you can quantify it, put a number to it, it isn't of value. In other words, unless you can control the outcome, you're wasting your time. And there it is again, time. It's never a waste of time to share and teach the good news of Jesus Christ, even if you don't get to see the results of it now. God's word, rightly spoken at the right time, is always, always productive. You just may not get to see that produce. Now, the opposite of this is what we saw in the Old Testament lesson today. The results came unexpectedly quick and even unwelcome by Jonah. When Jonah finally obeyed God and went and preached in Nineveh, all the people of Nineveh listened to Jonah and responded. They repented and turned to God. Jonah's preaching came to Nineveh at just the right time. And that is what we trust God to lead us into in our own lives, the right time to share the good news. Now, sometimes we can be like Jonah and turn away from sharing Christ when God prompts us to. And if you haven't done it, get your Bible out, read the book of Jonah, it's not that long, and see what else happened with Jonah. But the point is that, like Jonah, we get to participate with God in telling the good news of Jesus Christ. Our part is to heed his prompting and share Christ as he leads us to do. Now, yeah, the timer already went off. Sorry about that. But the point is that time is running out. And like Chuck Colson was changed, so we also are changed by the gospel. And now, as Jesus said, now is the time to share that gospel with everyone around us. Our time is precious to us. Yes, that's true. But even more precious are the lives of those we know and interact with and deal with and love every day. Their lives are so precious to Jesus that he stepped into time to take on human flesh and to die on the cross to pay the cost of our sin. He paid that price in our place and in the place of our friends and loved ones who we get to preach that good news to by how we act and what we say. We may or may not get to see the results of our preaching. But remember, we are called to be faithful in the telling. The results and the timing of those results, those things are in the Lord's hands. And like the man who planted his peach tree, we may not get any direct benefit. But then again, we have benefited from those who have shared Christ long before we came along. What if Luther had said no to God's word of grace to him? Jesus called Simon and Andrew and James and John today, and they, we were told, immediately left everything and followed Jesus. Again, we may or may not get to see immediate results like that as we tell the good news. Only time and eternity will tell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.